WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel's negotiating with Hamas to free dozens of women and children trapped at Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza. CBS's Doug Williams has more from Tel Aviv.
They've made offers to help transport the babies there that are in need of medical care, either to a different hospital, the one still operating in Gaza, or in Egypt.
In California, President Biden's meeting with China's president on the sidelines of APEC. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
This meeting is expected to last for about 4 hours. And so they are expected to cover a wide range of issues, including artificial intelligence, including both of the wars going on.
The FAA put out a new report blaming a lack of funding and understaffing for close calls at airports. Dennis Tagers with the American Airlines Pilots Union.
The distance between error and incident has significantly narrowed, and we're seeing those incidents on the increase.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An overhaul of Wisconsin's alcohol regulations is on its way to the governor. The bill got final approval in the Senate yesterday, would create a new division of alcohol beverages within the State Department of Revenue. The new division would enforce state laws covering breweries, wineries, and distilleries, not to mention retailers and distributors. The bill would require liquor licenses for wedding barns. Home caregivers are asking for help from the legislature and Wisconsin hospitals. A bill called the CARE Act would require hospitals to work more closely with caregivers.
And this part is key. When caregivers have the training and instruction they need, we can reduce costly readmissions to hospitals.
Martha Cranley is director of AARP Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Eau Claire City Council has announced it passed a budget resolution at Tuesday's meeting. The budget proposal was passed unanimously by the City Council and totals over $178 million, a 7% increase over last year's budget. Some notable budget provisions call for a 15% increase for the Eau Claire Police Department's K-9 Fund, a nearly 14% increase for the Fairfax Pool Fund, and a 1% increase for the L.E. Phillips Memorial Public Library. The Wisconsin State Assembly has unanimously passed a bill to preserve state farmland. According to a WKBT report, the bill gives higher tax credits to farmers who join a program that follows soil and water conservation standards. It was the third time the bill was proposed by Viroqua Representative Lauren Oldenburg, who removed a line that would automatically adjust tax credits for inflation each year and lower the number of years a farmer has to participate in the program from 15 to 10 years. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights. At least they're not Bud Light, at 10:30 in the morning. DC on a Thursday.
DC, tell us, 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Brewers have a new manager. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers making it official today. Pat Murphy is the new manager of the crew. He had been an assistant to Craig Counsell with the team since 2016. Murphy, who turned 65 later this month, gets a 3-year contract through the 2026 season. They've also hired Ricky Weeks, former Brewers infielder, to a title of associate manager. Weeks has been a part of the team player development the past two seasons. NFL, the Packers back at practice. They host the Chargers Sunday at noon. College football, the Badgers take on Nebraska Saturday night. Wisconsin now 5-5. Luke Fickell making reference to a blockbuster movie from the 90s.
For our guys in particular is how do we move forward and how do we move on? And we don't have the old Men in Black little thing that we kind of zap and everybody could forget about it and continue to move forward. So it's a real challenge for your mind and the things that you allow to creep in that ultimately will continue to hold us back.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebs Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny and not windy today. We'll get to around 57 for a high this afternoon. The wind becoming south at 5 to 10. Tonight down to 40. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and windy, 62. Then by Friday, it'll be sunny with a high of only 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap, UK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long time. Welcome to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. I want to talk about an amazing thing that happened in court in the Paul Pelosi hammer attack. Paul Pelosi, of course, is the husband of Nancy Pelosi. He was at home in bed, and a guy breaks in with a hammer, duct tape, and zip ties to either kidnap or restrain Nancy Pelosi. And here's what he said in court. Remember, what happened was he asked Paul Pelosi where she is. Paul Pelosi wakes up and there's nuts in his bedroom. Can you imagine? Where's Nancy Pelosi? And Paul Pelosi said she's in Washington, D.C. Paul Pelosi's, of course, in San Francisco. And somehow Paul Pelosi managed to get downstairs with the guy. The cops came. Paul Pelosi managed to call them, and the man hit him in the head with the camera. Paul Pelosi is over 80 years old, cracked his skull. He's lucky he didn't get a subdural hematoma. It's lucky he wasn't killed, quite frankly. Anyway, his trial's going on. The bad guy's trial's going on. And there's really an old adage among criminal defense lawyers. You hardly ever put your client on the stand because, first of all, they almost certainly did something. You know, is there a rare case where they're innocent and they really had nothing to do with it? Yeah, and then they should get on the stand. But by and large, if you put someone on the stand, a skillful prosecutor can cross-examine them and make them look guilty because they almost certainly are. But secondly, if you have done other bad things, you put them on the stand and this guy's done other bad things, other felonies, he has criminal conviction, the prosecutor can't tell the jury that if he does not take the stand. But if he takes the stand, the prosecutor can tell the jury about all of the crimes he's committed. And so it's usually not a good idea. In this case, I was astounded. Gotta say, I was astounded that the lawyer put the bad guy, the guy with the hammer who hit Paul Pelosi, on the stand. And he testified and he cried on the stand. And I'm going to tell you what he did and what he said. And then I'll tell you why the defense lawyer, I think, or said he said why he did it. And I think it's the dumbest idea I've ever had for a defense lawyer. Puts the guy on the stand. The guy cries and says, I hit him in the head with a hammer. I didn't mean to. That's not why I went there. I didn't go there to hit him in the head with a hammer. And he has a bag. He says, I was going to put on a unicorn costume. I wanted Nancy Pelosi, not him. And I was going to interrogate Nancy Pelosi about Hunter Biden and about Russiagate. And if she lied, I was going to break her knees. But if she didn't lie, I wasn't going to hurt her. And I was going to then go after Hunter Biden and the people who did Russiagate, and there are a lot of them. All right, hold the phone. End of quote. You're on the jury. What do you think about that? I don't think very much about that. I think what this lawyer was trying to do, and it was, I think, very, very foolish, but this is what he was trying to do, was two things. One, have the jury feel sorry for him to maybe think he's mentally ill. The problem with that is that I don't think is a defense in the case right now. The judge is not instructing the jury about mental illness. And so the judge is going to say, did he do it? Well, the guy's crying on the stand, saying he's going to put on a unicorn outfit and break Nancy Pelosi's knees. And unfortunately, only the husband was there, so he hit him in the head and he wished he hadn't. Hey, that's a lay down. The second thing, he may have wanted to do it, is this. If he had gone into a private person's home who is not in politics and done what he did, that would not be a federal crime. It would be a state crime, and it would be tried in state court, not federal court, and it would probably have a less of a maximum jail sentence. In this case, he was charged under a federal statute for wanting to threaten or hurt a public official or her family, which is what he did. So if they are going to try to argue, well, you heard him. He wanted Nancy Pelosi, but he didn't say he knew she was the Speaker of the House. Well, how do you think she was supposed to have access to Hunter Biden? How do you think she was supposed to have access to the Russiagate thing? And how do you think you think that you knew Russia, Hunter Biden is the president's son, and you're going to hurt him too? It's just this absolutely goofiest thing I've ever seen. And the defense is going to argue that he wasn't motivated by Nancy's position in Congress as Speaker. It should be a state assault charge. But I have never, ever, ever seen a dumber way to do it. You don't put a guy like that on the stand. What you do is you can argue that all you want, that there's not enough evidence. But for Pete's sake, you really don't do that. I'll tell you what, a major development. I think this is an absolutely major development. State of Nevada, the attorney general in the state of Nevada just announced that they are investigating the fake electors in that state. It's long overdue. Remember, there are six states with state electors, with fake electors. There's actually, these are the swing states. There's actually another one, New Mexico, but these are the ones that were called the swing states. So far, four of them are investigating the state electors or prosecuting them. Two are not, and I'm going to tell you about them. The four that are Michigan. They've been indicted, the fake electors. Georgia, they've been indicted by Fannie Willis, who's only a DA, not even attorney general. Arizona, the investigation is underway, and the attorney general has said that she is going to charge when she has the grand jury testimony showing it. And then, of course, you also have, so you have Michigan, Arizona, and Georgia. And remember, Pennsylvania is a separate case because the Pennsylvania fake electors were very smart. They sent in a thing that basically said, look, if the court says Trump is the president, he wants us to be the fake electors. But we're not saying we are unless that happens. Well, you know, okay. It's a dumb thing to do, but that's a lot different from misrepresenting that you are the real electors. So now you have Nevada. So Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, and Georgia are all going after the fake electors, the six, that's four. Pennsylvania, the fake electors were sneaky, and they said, you know, we're not saying we're fake electors now, but if a court says Trump's president, we would be, you know, what's that? Okay. The only one that's not prosecuting the fake electors is Wisconsin. It's a swing state. The only one. There's plenty of cover now to convene a John Doe or a grand jury and prosecute the state electors. It's a laydown. They have no way of denying that they did what they did. You have Ron Johnson, who carried around their names and the Michigan state electors in his pocket and had his chief of staff try to palm them off on Pence's chief of staff. You have reference to meetings with the then chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party in one of these other indictments in Georgia. And I think in Georgia and in Washington, D.C. And Jack Smith could indict all of the fake electors, all 90 some odd of them in the country, if he wanted to, but he's depending on the state attorneys general to do it. And in the case of Georgia, that is a Republican state attorney general, Fannie Willis. And then he's going after Donald Trump, the big kahuna, the guy that is the commanding general of the fake electors. The only piece of the puzzle that's not there now is Wisconsin. It'd be very easy for Wisconsin, for us, to simply convene a grand jury and or John Doe and subpoena them, the fake electors, subpoena Voss, subpoena Fitzgerald, and subpoena Ron Johnson. Look, we're all equal. Everybody's equal under the law. There's no monarchy privilege. There's no aristocratic privilege as there was in France and Britain and a lot of places in Europe. And get their testimony under oath. And if they take the fifth, they're entitled to do that. But there's plenty of evidence in my view so far that they were in on the fake electors, especially the 10 fake electors. They were in on being fake electors because they were fake electors. And one of them's on the Wisconsin Election Commission. So I think it's important to point out that prosecuting state fake electors is not sort of a one-off. Not prosecuting them is a one-off. Four states are investigating or prosecuting them. Two of them are prosecuting, Michigan and Georgia. Two of them are investigating, Nevada and Arizona. Pennsylvania's not, because they were not typical fake electors. They hedged their bets. They hedged their bets. But Wisconsin's not that way, and it would be a very, very good thing. My recommendation, and I think a lot of other people's recommendation, to join this and to make sure that all the fake electors who can be prosecuted in the country are being prosecuted, and it provides backup and cover for Jack Smith. Jack Smith is a very brave guy. You know, he's been threatened so often. He had to sell his house. He and his wife and his family are in protection. And Trump just the other day insulted his wife again. And Jack Smith, saying he was deranged, saying that he is biased, saying that his wife hates Trump more than Jack Smith hates Trump. All Trump succeeds in doing that way is presenting them, innocent, good people, to the attention of his nutjob supporters. Now, not all of his supporters are nutjobs. I know people, very fine people, who are supporting Donald Trump. They would not do anything violent. But there are people out there who have done things violent and will do them again. And you saw them on TV on January 6th. There are over 1,000 of them, and 600 of them have already been convicted. Very dangerous what's going on. It's important to use the power of the state government and the criminal process to prosecute the fake electors. Okay, coming up, what do we got? Well, coming up, we got some very, very good stuff. Threats to judges and the Trump connection. Threats to judges, Trump connection. Backbiter, tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association. If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap K.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we'll go right to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Bob of Madison, my friend, thank you for calling. What's your mind today, Bob?
Well, I'm thinking of killers and losers. That's what Trump learned from his father, to either be a killer or you're a loser. So killer is his way of maintaining dominance. Maintain a credibility with his father and his KKK father. And it seems like it runs through a lot. It makes it easier when you have a mantra like that, like killer. It's easier to think that way. And so he's encouraging people's violence and so forth. Seems to be a part of that killer versus loser lifetime motto that he tends to follow. So what do you think?
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. And then an analogous way I've heard, especially with some of these people in commercial real estate and investing and that kind of thing, is that there are two kinds of people in the world. There are predators and there are prey. Predators and prey. So you walk up to them, they look at you, and they say, I'm a predator, so you must be my prey. And even if they're nice to you and smile at you, it's a fake thing. And that's Trump all over the place. Excellent call, Bob. Thanks a lot. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul? Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Thanks for taking my call, Matt. I'm going to change the subject a little bit, but yeah, Trump's a dangerous man, and at this point, nobody should support this guy because he's dangerous. I want to go closer to home. It seems like, well, you know, I live around Madison, but anytime Madison comes into view in the state government, right away the Republicans hate it. And what I'm referring to is the University of Wisconsin Engineering School. It's one of the best engineering schools in the state, not in the United States. And the state of Wisconsin needs engineers, and they want engineers, and these guys will not approve building it, and the cost goes up every year. So now when they've delayed it again, it's going to go up, I don't know, another $10 million or whatever. And I do not understand how you're going to run a state and attract good people without having a good university system, and especially engineers. I mean, they don't grow on trees either. So that's my rant for today. The GOP, you need to look out for the whole state, and just because it's Madison, you got to quit hating on it, especially the UW system. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, you know, I'm really glad you made that call, because let me tell you some background on that. And you're absolutely right. The Republicans did it because essentially they hate higher education. They hate Madison. They hate the UW. And it was going to cost about $300 million. But what most people don't realize is that it actually is going to cost more like $600 million. They had private donations to pay for half of it. They had private donations. And the state was going to then pay the $300 million. We would have a top-rated engineering school, and we have more and more engineering majors, and we need them. The other thing you may not know is that the Board of Regents, the number one thing on their list was the engineering school in Madison, but either two or three, was a health sciences building in Milwaukee for University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Governor Evers didn't even put that in his budget, which really bothers me. I think that was more a matter of his staff, which I'm not happy with at all. But the fact is that this legislature will not do anything, that they can get away with not do anything for Madison or Milwaukee because of the Democratic votes that come out of those two places, and also because that's where a lot of the contributions come from. So until we get rid of gerrymandering, until we have fair maps, you're going to see our University of Wisconsin system in general, and the Madison campus in particular, and UWM in particular, continue to be starved and attacked by Republicans. It's a disgusting thing. You'd think that the Wisconsin manufacturers would have stood up to them because they use engineers. They didn't. And this is a call around the state for everybody to pay attention to something. What Wisco Paul just said, as long as you continue to vote Republican, support Republicans, you're continually sticking a knife and starving the University of Wisconsin system and all its campuses. Thanks for calling, Paul. John of Boaz, my friend. Thanks for calling. John, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. I would like to know if we lost the word or we dropped the word about Trump as con artist, a con man.
Yeah, thank you. In other words, have we dropped the word con man around Trump? I mean, the guy is fraud on the hoof. The guy is fraud on the hoof. Trump always uses a pejorative, which means a negative, nasty adjective about somebody. He'll say crooked this and lying that. But really, is he describing himself? He is crooked Donald Trump. He is lying Donald Trump. You had crooked William Barr, lying Mike Pompeo. If he gets back into the presidency, we have a guy who's functionally a criminal. He's not only indicted on 91 felony indictments over several courts by several prosecutors, but he has, for instance, he has deliberately exposed some of our most top secret documents to Russia and China by leaving them lying around in a public space, telling people openly what our nuclear submarine capabilities are. He's done all of this. He's done all of this. And he claims that he has the right to do it. He doesn't deny he did it. He claims he has the right to do it. His son-in-law, Jared Kushner, got $2 billion from the Saudi Arabians to, quote, invest, end quote. He's not an investor. Do you know that when you get money under an investment contract like that, you get something like 2% or 1.5% of the whole amount every year, even if you don't invest it at all, and even if you don't invest it and win, even if you lose? 2% of $2 billion is $40 million. Jared Kushner just got $40 million a year forever from the Saudi Arabians. And then if he makes a mistake and loses a lot of money, it doesn't make any difference. If he somehow hits a bullseye and makes money, he also gets about 1.5% over all the money he makes above the S&P 500 index. That is the crookedest deal I've ever heard. And they all go, Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden. He got a fee. Hunter Biden. Donald Trump is as crooked as a dog's hind leg. He would take money. He would steal the pennies off a dead man's eyes. He would steal out of a beggar's dish, a blind beggar. He cannot be prepared to be president. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I'm going to get back to you right after we come back. It'll be a short period of time. News, weather, and I'll tell you what. Who said this? Who said what I am about to read when we come back? And I'm going to go right to the lines first.
Tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There's a run on new opportunities for high-speed internet in rural Wisconsin. The state has $42 million worth of grants to give out, but the number of applications it got asks for more than $221 million. More than 251,000 locations in Wisconsin still lack service, and about as many have internet that's considered below current standards. Governor Evers is lifting lockdowns at state prisons in Waupun and Green Bay. Inmates have been confined to their cells since spring because of safety concerns and not enough guards. Inmates will soon get access to more prison programs, and some inmates in Waupun will be moved. The governor says he's also keen on hiring more guards. Starting pay for those jobs went up to $33 an hour in the new state budget. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. An Eau Claire woman has entered a guilty plea to a reduced charge in connection with the murder of a local man and dumping his body in a ditch. Vanessa Kettman pled guilty to felony murder, false imprisonment, and agreed to testify against her co-defendants, Philip Novak and Christina Keppert. The three suspects were charged last fall following the death of 46-year-old Eddie Banks, allegedly after a drug deal gone wrong. Banks' body was found along a rural road near Brankett. Republican lawmakers in the Wisconsin State Legislature have given final approval to a $2 billion income tax cut, which Governor Tony Evers is expected to veto. A spokesperson for Governor Evers called the plan a completely unserious proposal, as the governor has previously vetoed similar tax cut proposals. The legislature proposed the plan as an alternative to a plan Evers proposed to address workforce and child care issues, which was rejected by the state legislature. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Brewers have a new manager. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers making it official today. Pat Murphy is the new manager of the crew. He had been an assistant to Craig Counsell with the team since 2016. Murphy, who turned 65 later this month, gets a three-year contract through the 2026 season. They've also hired Ricky Weeks, former Brewers infielder, to a title of associate manager. Weeks has been a part of the team player development the past two seasons. NFL, the Packers back at practice. They host the Chargers Sunday at noon. College football, the Badgers take on Nebraska Saturday night. Wisconsin now 5-5. Luke Fickell making reference to a blockbuster movie from the 90s.
For our guys in particular is how do we move forward and how do we move on? And we don't have the old Men in Black little thing that we kind of zap and everybody could forget about it and continue to move forward. So it's a real challenge for your mind and the things that you allow to creep in that ultimately will continue to hold us back.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Mostly sunny and not windy today. We'll get to around 57 for a high this afternoon. The wind becoming south at 5 to 10. Tonight down to 40. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and windy, 62. Then by Friday, it'll be sunny with a high of only 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. UK.
Ooh.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Who's your Bob of Indiana, my friend? Thanks for calling. What's your mind today? Who's your Bob?
How you doing, Matt?
Real good, Bob. What's in your mind today? Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, I have to take... Yes, I have to take exception with you, sir. Donald Trump is not a predator. Donald Trump is an opportunistic carrion eater. He is a bottom feeder. You cannot credit him with the intelligence of a true predator.
You know, Bob, that's that's terrific. You know, it's good in politics, everybody likes one another. But I'll tell you what, with Donald Trump, there's a lot of truth in everything that we're saying, because I've been alive through a lot of presidential campaigns. I've actually been involved in a lot of presidential campaigns. I was John Kerry's co-chairman of his primary campaign in Wisconsin in 2004. I was a delegate for Ted Kennedy in the 1980 convention in New York City. I was a Gary Hart delegate in 1984 in San Francisco. In 1988, they had it in Atlanta, and I was down there with the delegation. But I have never seen an election where the Republican, I felt, was a clear present danger to the United States. In other words, in all those campaigns, I wanted the Democrat to win. But I thought, well, but if the Democrat doesn't win, it ain't great, but it's not fatal. So in 1980, it was Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, and Ted Kennedy. They were all, if any one of the three got in, I preferred one of the Democrats get in, but it wouldn't be the end of the world. 84 with Mondale, the same. I wanted Mondale when Hart was beaten, but if it was Reagan, okay. In 88, I wanted Dukakis, but okay, George H.W. Bush. I was for Clinton, 92, 96, and so on. This time, we have a guy who compromised the security of the United States, who spills the beans to our enemies, and who is going to pull us out of NATO. He said he's going to pull us out of NATO, sacrifice Ukraine to be raped and butchered and lose its identity and be part of the Soviet Union, not stick up for Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. And he's an isolationist to a point, steal and grab all the money he can while he's alive for him and his friends. That is what is going on. So who's your Bob? Thanks a lot. Great call. I'm going to read you a statement. I'm going to read everybody a statement, and you tell me who you think said these words and when they said them. Quote, Donald Trump is unfit to serve and could be a danger as president. I am afraid he would break more things than he fixes. He is a predator, not a predator. He is a hothead by nature. And that is a dangerous trait to have in a commander in chief. What would happen if he bombed, another head of state for merely disrespecting him? And I'm only halfway kidding. I just don't think that he has the demeanor to be president. Read again real quick. This was said by somebody. You tell me who it was. Quote, Donald Trump is unfit to serve and could be a dangerous president. I'm afraid he would break more things than he fixes. He is a hothead by nature, and that is a dangerous trait to have in a commander in chief. What would happen if he bombs another head of state for merely disrespecting him? And I'm only half kidding. I just don't think he has the demeanor to be president. Those words were spoken by the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, in 2015, when he was in the Louisiana legislature. Mike Johnson said those words. He said those words. As conservative as he is, he said those words. And they just challenged him on it. And he admitted he said them. But then on Monday, he just endorsed Trump for president. And when they said, how can you say those words? Magnificent words. How can you say them? Endorse him for president. And he looked really, really weak. And he said, quote, well, I said those words before I got to know him, end quote. I said those words before I got to know him. For Pete's sake, for Pete's sake. The more you got to know him, the more true those words were. The more true those words were. Go to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Well, I think it's difficult to, there's a song by Elvis Costello. It's along the lines of, I used to get disgusted, now I try to be amused. And I think that's really the only way to deal with Republicans, both on the national level and on the state level. I wanted to respond to your conversation that you had, with Wisco Paul. It was in reference to refusing to add dollars to the budget on the part of the Republicans to support a new engineering school, which is the top button item that the university wants to go after. And I just, you know, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Okay, look, you indicated that the dollars that were going to be set aside in that budget for this engineering school, half of the cost was going to be picked up by private donors. You know, private donors writing a check is a statement of, we believe in you. We think this is a good idea. And you walk away from that. You say, oh, no, I don't think we need your money. See you, bye. No, don't bother. You're telling these very rich people, go away. We don't want your cash. I'm stupefied. It's not like it's just one person who wants something to happen. I'm assuming that it's a fair number of people that have to pony up in order to come up with a half of the many millions that are required for this new engineering school. And to that end, I would also say, you look up at the average salary that an engineer with a four-year degree makes. It's on average, it's $91,000. Okay, that's a fairly good. That's a fairly good rate of pay for coming out of 4 years compared to other majors. And the kinds of engineering degrees that the UW offers in Madison, it goes from biomedical engineering to material science to chemical to computer to geologic to mechanical engineering, nuclear engineering. And I'm just hitting some of them. It was about 15 different kinds of engineering majors that are awarded. It only leads to jobs. These people, they get a job as an engineer, they're coming up with ideas. This creates more jobs in terms of the people that work around them, all the way from tech to secretarial to you name it, you know, the people that work in offices to support businesses that engineers create. So there we are with our Republican legislature blowing it off. Blowing it off. We still have a surplus of, you know, how much, Matt? Why can we not afford this? And why are we listening to Republicans who are talking about workforce development and the importance of having workforce development at the same time they're saying no to a new engineering school when we've got money to pay for it and we've got donors lining up to pay for half of it? Man, walking away from free money? Who does that? I'd love your reaction to that. Thanks, Matt, as always.
No, that's exactly right. Excellent call. The new engineering school was going to cost about $600 million. $600 million. Six-tenths of $1 billion. Private donors, and obviously they had at least one and probably several lead gifts, were going to pay for half of it. That's very common. For instance, if you're raising money for the Milwaukee Symphony or something, it's very common for somebody anonymously to provide a lead gift on the condition that it be matched, you know, that kind of thing. Well, this was even more certain, and that's, we will match. If you'll put up $300 million, we'll pay the other $300 million. They turned it down, and there was a clear need for it. And everything you said was exactly right. Plus all those engineers, most of them stay in Wisconsin, end up paying taxes themselves. And it's terrific for just economic progress in the state. They funded some very worthwhile projects in Eau Claire and elsewhere, but they deliberately stiffed Madison. in my view, and I don't think I'm just speculating on this, because quite frankly, they look on Madison as an enemy, not just the town, because the town is obviously very, very liberal to the point of being far left. But more importantly, the university is not that. The University of Wisconsin goes back well into the 19th century. The Wisconsin idea is that the boundaries of the University of Wisconsin are the boundaries of the state. I mean, they have agricultural missions. They have all sorts of things all around the state, a terrific system that includes Madison, Milwaukee, Eau Claire, La Crosse, you know, Whitewater, Stevens Point, Oshkosh, all over the place. It's a terrific university system. Because it's a university system, it's higher education, they do everything they can to starve at least Madison and Milwaukee. In retaliation, because that's where most of the Democratic, I shouldn't say most, but that's where a huge margin of Democratic votes come, and certainly financial donations to politicians in the Democratic Party. They also refuse to permit $32 million of money to go to the University of Wisconsin system unless they get rid of their diversity, equity, and inclusion staff. They also denied raises to UW system employees, which are about 36,000 people around the state, which is about half of all the state employees. Governor Evers has finally had enough, and he sued them on the grounds that those raises were part of the budget. And by saying that it couldn't be triggered unless a committee approved it, that's usurping the powers of the executive after the proper legislative process. I think he's going to win on that one. But what kind of legislature, even a gerrymandered legislature, would deny an engineering school, half of which was paid by private donations? We have billions of dollars, over $3 billion over in the kitty, from COVID money and other money that we've never spent. And in addition to that, deny raises to the entire UW system. You know, not just professors, but everybody, staff, everybody. And withhold $32 million, which in the scheme of all the other numbers we're talking about is probably the smallest number, simply because you want to micromanage how the universities run. My message to Republicans, leave the university alone. It manages itself real well. Many people don't realize this, but the New Deal under Franklin Roosevelt, much of that New Deal was the brainchild of University of Wisconsin economists and labor lawyers, or labor professors. Anything, things like minimum wage, labor laws, child labor, a 40-hour work week, all of this kind of stuff that modernized the modern workforce, much of it came out of the University of Wisconsin. How about worker compensation? That was an idea of the University of Wisconsin. Social Security was the idea of Otto von Bismarck of Germany in the 1880s, but what worked in Germany wasn't necessarily going to work here, and that was the brainchild, the adaptation from the University of Wisconsin. The University of Wisconsin is considered, at one point, Madison was considered the 34th best university in the world, not just the Ivy League, not just the Big Ten, not just America, but Oxford, Cambridge, the Sorbonne, Salamanca, Heidelberg, Chinese universities, Russian universities, Israeli universities, the entire world. If you say University of Wisconsin, and you say that to a professor or a journalist or an author in another country, they go, oh, well, I mean, that's a very big deal. And the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee faculty is one of the best in the country. They're all punching above their weight, and they're getting starved for money by a gerrymandered legislature of troglodytes. This is not right. Even if you think you're a Republican out there, you cannot stand by and watch this happen. Okay, coming up, what do we got here? Some very, very good stuff. Biden takes on Xi. Biden takes on Xi in San Francisco.
I was young.
93.5 The Tap.
What do you mean he's not coming in? This is our busiest time.
The mixologist at Claude's Bar is moving to Manhattan.
I'm already down two bar backs. No one's manning front of
house. Now he needs an equally cosmopolitan replacement.
How am I going to find a new bartender before New Year's Eve?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday season, Capital One reminds you to give yourself the gift of 1.5% cash back with the Capital One Quicksilver Card.
Can I earn 1.5% cash back on birds?
Birds?
What if you sent your true love two turtle doves plus a partridge in a pear tree?
Sure. But why would anyone want that?
The song was very convincing.
Earn 1.5% cash back on all your holiday purchases with the Capital One Quicksilver Card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, as we went on the air, Joe Biden was sitting down with Xi of China in San Francisco. And the video of the table was amazing. It looked like there were 30 or 40 people there, all of their aides, their translators, senior staff, and all of that. When I look at something like that, I say again, thank God Joe Biden is the president. Thank God it's not Donald Trump, Donald Trump shooting his mouth off. Thank God it's no one else. No one else in the Congress or the Senate. The most experienced man in the room is Joe Biden. And he very properly early on said, set the expectations low, not to overpromise. They say, well, what do you expect to happen here? Well, we expect to resume relations with our militaries, with our diplomats, come to some agreements, very general stuff. The backstory behind that is right now, we don't have telephone communication with their military leaders or with Xi. It's sort of axiomatic that with the true world leaders, which can be defined as people either with large economies or nuclear weapons, you have a hotline, so to speak. You don't have to dial and get an operator on the line. And Joe Biden can talk to Xi if he wants to, and Xi can talk to Joe Biden. And Lloyd Austin can talk to their defense secretary and vice versa. Well, what's happened over the last 8 months, maybe a little more, that line of communication isn't there. And Austin will leave a message for the defense secretary and he won't get a return call. Biden doesn't do it very frequently with Xi, and he usually does get a return call, but it's very grudging. China is in trouble right now. China's economy is deflating. And I'm not going to get into all the weeds about that, but deflation is what Japan went through back in the 1980s when it had been soaring high, and it's been in it for almost 40 years, devastating the economy. If you think inflation's bad, if you have deflation, prices and wages keep going down, there's no incentive to go into business, and it can destroy an economy. That's what we had in the Great Depression, 1929 throughout the 30s. So they're scared. They also have 1.5 billion people. We only have about 350 million people. We have 20% of what they have. They have 1.5 billion. They got to feed them, house them, and employ them. They have a system we don't like, Chinese communism, but so far, they haven't had starvation. And so they have to be very careful. They also are very annoyed about the South China Sea. They go, hey, it's named after us, so it's our sea. Well, no, it is not. The Irish Sea between England and Ireland is called the Irish Sea, but it's international waters, and so is the South China Sea. What he expects to occur, what Biden expects to occur really is several things. Lessening confrontations with our aircraft. They have their pilots fly, in one case, 10 feet from one of our jets, and they're talking about 600 miles an hour, 10 feet, Giannis Antetokounmpo is 7'2". There's a French guy who's playing for one of the teams in the NBA who I think is like 7'6 or something. 10 feet is a little over 3 yards. Look at a football field. Say 3.5 yards. The wings of a Chinese plane at 600 miles an hour went by one of ours. There's no way you can control that. There's going to be a crash. Somebody's going to get killed, and that could spark a conflict. We don't want that. That's number one. Number two, fentanyl. The Chinese are supplying the Mexican drug cartels with chemicals for their fentanyl. Those chemicals are then put into fentanyl, and then they're shipped illegally into the United States as candies, in small, small candies, like little mint type candies or that kind of thing, different colors. You might even have a clown's face on a cardboard package. Any one of those can kill you. Any one of those will kill you. They kill 70,000 people a year in this country. Some Republicans have proposed bombing the fentanyl factories. There are two of them. We know who they are. The Mexican government is as crooked as a dog's hind leg and won't close them down. The politicians down there on the take, former Mexican president, was accused of taking $100 million from the cartel as he left office. He denied it, but he's living a mighty fine lifestyle. So at what point do we say with Mexico, these are the factories, you close them down or we're going to close them down? We're going to designate the cartel leaders the way we designate ISIS people. And we will go after them. That's being proposed right now by the Republicans. I think right now there's risk to that. It's not time to do that. What Biden is trying to do is get the Chinese to stop sending the chemicals. We have some leverage. We bring in many thousands, tens of thousands of their students every year to train in American universities. Chinese communist kids, okay. Why are we letting them study how to make nuclear weapons at MIT and Caltech? I don't think that's a good idea. And many of them steal intellectual property. One thing Biden could do is say, look, I mean, we're going to have a pause on immigration from mainland China until this gets cleared up. But the other thing, the reason why I'm very glad it's Joe Biden, is because Xi Jinping had the same conversation with Donald Trump and Barack Obama, and he promised each of them that he would stop sending fentanyl. Each of them, he'd stop harassing our aircraft, and each of them, he would stop trying to create fake islands in the South China Sea, and he lied about it all. And he didn't follow through with Obama, and he didn't follow through with Trump. The reason I'm glad we have Joe Biden in there now is Joe Biden knows that. He knows what sanctions he can impose, skillfully impose. I've given you one. There are several others. So we'll see how that turns out. I'll tell you what, it's been a great show. Stand by for a lot more news, weather, and Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crew. Another very great show. Very, very fine call-in show. We've had some great callers today, as always. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today. Like a complete unknown, like a rolling stone.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. The Todd Alba Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.